back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I stopped. Alan Greenfield says he was married 4 times, and we're not going to get into all the ramifications of that. But he's here joining me on the Paracast, and we're talking about John Keel. He had one of those voices and the kind of delivery where he says something, you believe it. Doesn't matter if he's making it up, you believe him.
In a certain sense, he was kind of like Gray Barker, who in a sense was a rival of his over the, particularly the Mothman material, but they were both yarn spinners and storytellers. There's a difference between a West Virginia Gray Barker type yarn spinner and storyteller, because they are in the true old American mythos type of Paul Bunyan sort of tradition. John Keel came out of the fantasies of men's magazines of the 1940s and 50s, where my favorite image is the man marooned on the island that all of the inhabitants were Amazonian women lusting after men. You know, that's the there must have been thousands of stories that were very variations on that theme in Argosy, Saga, and other magazines of that sort. They were not smutty magazines by today's standards, but they were considered such back then. They also had some articles on relatively serious material. Keel was a bit more of a serious writer than a lot of the people that wrote for those magazines. I think actually, now that I think about it, Jim Moseley had a thing on treasure hunting in one of those magazines way, way back, if I remember right. But
you do remember correctly.
Yes. In any case, Keel would give little portions of what eventually became this series of books, all of which was material probably written at the same time, with the exception of the Mothman material, which was essentially the notion that UFOs were a kind of a deception for something much larger than even the notion, as big as it is, of visitations from extraterrestrials, that is, beings from other planets in the known universe. And that's probably accounts for the name, Operation Trojan Horse. That is, it's perceived as a gift or a fantasy, but it actually contains Greek-bearing gifts. And those gifts are not too kindly if one happens to be a Trojan. And heaven knows America is filled with Trojans these days.
Okay, now the...
You're not going to touch that line, are you?
Well, I'm going to leave it. Sometimes, you know, it's better to let a line drop, and it dropped.
They could become your sponsor, hey.
On the other hand...
I don't put them on my hand, but that's not important right now. Go on, go on.
All right. Now, when we did the memorial show for John Keel, the suggestion was made very much that he had some very interesting ideas, but maybe his research was a little bit wanting.
Did you have Jerry Clark or somebody like that on the show?
I think that's fair.
Okay. Look, I think Keel's research, his field research, with one flaw, and I'll get to that. His field research was honest, was thorough, and he was more of a real reporter than virtually any of the people who dignify themselves with the term ufologist, as if there were some particular field of expertise that qualifies one to call oneself a ufologist. That annoys me beyond all words. What makes a ufologist? That you're an astrophysicist? That you're a physicist? That you're an amateur in the true sense of the word? That is, one who is interested for the love of it? That one is a credulous believer? That one is a militant skeptic? What are the qualifications? Well, one of the qualifications has to be an inquiring reporter who has a sense of adventure. And that is precisely the credential that John Keel approached this with. Where his credulity came in, and you can see it a bit in the movie version of the Mothman Prophecies, are the phone calls. Because you and I know that we had two friends now gone on to their much-deserved rewards who were prone to imbibe a little herb and much brew and pick up the phone and mythologize. They did it with me during a citywide skywatch, and I actually recorded the thing, and they told me later it was them. It was very well done. But, you know, I was skeptical about it enough to get my tape recorder turned on about halfway through it and then listen to it and decide that it was something. I wasn't sure that it was them, but it was something that was done with electronica type stuff that was rare at the time, but which, you know, is very easy to come by right now. In fact, if we get really bad feedback on this, we'll sound exactly like the phone call sounded. And these two gentlemen, Mr. Barker and Mr. Mosley, I think in each their own way were very serious about what they were doing, but they also had a good sense of humor and they were good pranksters. And Keel, in the middle of really, really strange stuff going on in West Virginia and I believe on Long Island in New York and other things that he investigated firsthand, which I think were quite as genuine as your own brief experience with a, quote, man in black, unquote. That is, can't tell what it is, but it certainly isn't something that one would expect. Doesn't fit the pattern of the regular day-to-day CNN universe. He could easily be freaked out by these phone calls with strange messages and hang-ups, and who would find his phone number that he'd only given to trusted friends, which of course included
Mosley and Barker.
Yes, exactly. And I think those things we can consider to be, in at least the vast majority of instances, things that Keel took seriously because he didn't think that they would do something like that, whereas those of us who were on more intimate terms with them assumed that if a couple of years went by and they didn't do something like that, that they were, you know, something was wrong. Of course, there's the intriguing, I always go back to it, you have apparently, the last time we talked about it, switched a little bit, but you were my original source on this, the Wanacue Reservoir thing. Now, I know you went out and investigated it, but you had told me at the time, and my memory is, oh, so crystal clear, and I probably even have it taped somewhere. I taped everything back in those days. We taped far too much stuff, but you told me on the phone, long distance, that Jim had gotten really, really drunk one night, and I guess you were at his apartment, or maybe at the Saucer News office.
It was at his apartment, and your memory is correct. I don't think I denied it. I think that Jim did indeed make a phone call, a hoax phone call, to the police in that area, somewhat before the actual sightings occurred.
It was the day before. They started the day after. The sighting started the day after he made the drunken phone call, which he was so drunk that in later years he denied actually happening. We both confronted him on a program a couple of years ago, I remember.
And that's right.
I got you to back me up because he said, no, I didn't do that. And you were there, you know, and I was counting on your memory because I would suspect you were cold sober and he was stoned out of his mind on one or another or several substances.
Just to mention so people understand about my personality, I have never had a taste for alcohol. It doesn't mean that I have not taken substances, but those substances were not alcohol. I tried it a few times with one particular girlfriend who said, why don't you try this? And I said, okay. But after we broke up, it was a very short relationship. I never got into it again. People don't believe me. They're listening. Oh, this Steinberg's probably drunk when he does this show. No, he's not. But we're happy to have Alan Greenfield. We're talking about the research of John Keel, how it relates to possible alternate realities and other stuff. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Yeah. Hey, neighbors, meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can. For one flat rate, you have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast this week, Alan Greenfield joins us. Chris O'Brien took the night off. But with Alan Greenfield around, I will never take the night off because I always enjoy our conversations. In fact, I miss those conversations. He's been on the Paracast a few times by himself, but usually with other guests, but we have them all to ourselves this time, and we could listen. Now, do we assume at all here that some of those phone calls, some, I don't know if all, some of those phone calls that Keel received were from those two people, but maybe not all?
Well, they could have all been from them, but here's...
Wouldn't he know? He's a smart guy. He was a smart guy. He should have known this.
Well, this is the way I see it, and of course you can take it for what it's worth. The whole Mothman, Men in Black, really intense period in the, we'll just say the late 1960s, was really, really weird, Gene. I mean, those of us who did any on-scene investigation, it was weirder than most of this stuff. It was more like a serious ghost hunt than it was like your classical UFO investigation. I've been on both, and I can tell you it had this sort of evil undertone to it. Maybe evil is too strong a term. Let's just say dark undertone, unpleasant undertone. And I think enough of that, you start to get, if you're not very careful, you start to get either extremely skeptical in self-defense, or you start to get extremely gullible because you've seen so many dark, wondrous things that if something dark and fraudulent takes place, you're going to be more inclined to credit it than you would be otherwise. I think all the calls may have been from Jim and or Gray, but there is one thing that puzzles me, and I'll leave it at this. Some of them were to numbers that he had changed his phone to, that is Kiel, in order to get some peace because he was actually on the verge of a nervous breakdown, which I believe he had, actually, if I recall correctly. I mean, it really broke him down. He was trying to avoid this, and he changed his number, and before the number was changed properly, as sort of reflected in the movie, you know, he'd be getting another call from Indrid Cold or from, you name it, creatures with no names and mumbling sounds and strange noises. And a lot of them, especially the ones that happened in motels in West Virginia, I think were from probably had a Clarksburg area code. But the ones where he had changed his number and so forth, I think that one can overstate the likelihood that those were from Jim or Gray. My guess, if I had to come down, is somehow or other they got a hold of the new number. They got, just like they got their stationery for the famous Straight Letter hoax through one of their circuitous routes, it's entirely possible that they got the number. My guess is those calls were genuine paranormal phenomena. But, it's impossible to know. Most of the phenomena that Kiel reported on, though, as far as I've been ever been able to tell, are perfectly genuine and are confirmed by many other sources, including some that are contemporary, that have sort of gone back over the same turf and found confirmation even in far more recent instances, because while it's not as anywhere nearly as intense as it was in the late 1960s, it's nevertheless, these things do occasionally happen in those same areas and seem to involve, for example, the one time I actually had an experience with a man in black was in West Virginia. I took the guy's picture. I would never have mentioned it if I hadn't had literally a dozen witnesses to this person being there, and a sudden brave urge to go out and confront this guy and take a picture of him, and then he disappeared around the corner and disappeared. But I've had recent confirmation of this same guy showing up in much more recent times and looking the same. And at the time, he looked like a pasty-faced, sort of put-together 20-year-old. And you take that was, I think, 1969. If I remember correctly, the Charleston, West Virginia National UFO Conference, you'd have to look it up, 68 or 69. He wouldn't be 20 years old now, I can tell you that from experience. We all look different, and so the notion that somebody like that could show up in the 21st century is really, really weird. And yet that's from a very reliable source for this sort of material. So this is very strange stuff.
Now, one of the theories, of course, that Kiel presented was that of ultra-terrestrials, kind of an alternate reality thing. But he also said that God was a computerized intelligence and one not always sane. And when I think of what he said in one of his books, I then consider the movie series The Matrix trilogy, okay, where our reality was basically run by computers. And the goal, of course, was to awaken the populace and give them their freedom. And now there's a story that came out the other day suggesting that our universe is nothing more than a computer simulation, somebody's video game.
Well, computer simulation, I don't know about game. I don't think The Matrix was perceived as a game. It was perceived, if you watched all three films.
I didn't say a game. It was a functioning computerized reality where people were basically in stasis experiencing their life mentally.
Right. That doesn't mean that that is the ultimate reality. That's just another stage up. And in fact, at the very end of the third movie, you get a very Gnostic spiritual interpretation very easily lends itself to that, that one can ascend to an area of consciousness that is greater than even that which is within the Matrix. Because anytime you talk about a, and by the way, I think that is a very serious idea. I even tend to sort of subscribe to it, although I think we always are taking whatever technology we have and projecting it onto other beings. And when we come up with a new technology, then we project that onto them. You know, rockets in the 1940s and computers now. I think that one must assume that there will be technologies that exceed the technology that we now have just by the momentum of history. But, of course, there's always the question, even assuming that it is a program, who is the ultimate programmer and who programmed the programmer? I think talking about that as being an ultimate God is kind of missing the point. Philip K. Dick, my favorite author, wrestled with that idea throughout his career and in his parallel life as a writer of serious nonfiction that has only recently been much of it published as The Exegesis, which I recommend only to people that have read a lot of his, quote, fiction, unquote.
We'll get into Philip K. Dick and so much more with Alan Greenfield joining Gene. You're in the PowerCast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. 1-877-804-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. 1-877-804-MYTV.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future, and you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, and you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? 409-5633. or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Check out StunGunMikes.com. They specialize in home and business security, family safety, and personal protection. At StunGunMikes.com, they have everything from mace pepper sprayers to cell phone stun guns and everything in between. Visit www.StunGunMikes.com for all your security needs. We even ship your products the very next day. That's www.StunGunMikes.com for real spy gear, real security, and awesome gadgets.
Are you looking for a great one-of-a-kind gift idea? Then look no further than www.dapgadgets.com. They have radio-controlled planes, helicopters, buggies, cars, and more. How about an insane horsehead pillowcase, MP3 accessories, or even an iPhone 5 wallet case? Visit www.dapgadgets.com and be sure to check out their featured gadgets page. Shipping is only $9.99 and is shipped within 7 days or less. Check out www.daftgadgets.com today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
On the Paracast, we're joined by Alan Greenfield, longtime UFO and occult researcher, and we're talking about the works of Philip K. Dick, and they've made so many movies of the things that he wrote. Of course, there are two versions of Total Recall now, the original Arnold Schwarzenegger version, which plays havoc with one's reality, in a sense, and a new version. Alan?
Well, let me, as a almost lifelong, that is from the late 1950s on, reader of Phil Dick's work and great admirer of his, all the way up to the only recently published private journals of his ideas about the nature of reality and the nature of the universe, which I would say is spiritual, Gnostic, Christian, and way beyond anything that most of his contemporaries were doing. Very thoughtful stuff, but meaningless if you haven't read at least his best fiction. I forgot where I was going with this. Help me along here.
Okay, so talking about reality.
Oh, I was going to talk about the movies.
Okay.
I was going to disagree with you on that.
Well, actually, I didn't make an agreement. I just mentioned two of the movies.
Yes, well, but most of the movies that – the first movie that was made based on anything that Philip K. Dick wrote was Blade Runner. And,
right.
And Blade Runner – angered him privately, and he died before it actually came out. But he had written some really, he felt very, very compromised by it. And anyone who has read the book that it is sort of a thread from the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is a very profound title to begin with.
Well, the one thing to mention before you go on, and that is, I gather he was never happy or rarely happy with the way they made movies of his various books.
Well, no, there's no way to know that because he died before any movies were made of his books, except he saw an early cut of Blade Runner. He died that year, the year that Blade Runner came out, and before the movie actually had come out as a public thing. But they wanted
him to... Was that more of his family then who objected?
I'm not sure if his family has objected, but what's been because they have permitted a number of his short stories to be turned into movies, and I think that they're very entertaining movies, and his short stories are not that difficult to turn into films because they usually only contain one novel idea, no pun intended. But the novels in general have not been turned into films, and none of his really important novels like Ubik or The Man in the High Castle or most of all Valis have ever been brought to the silver screen, as we used to call it. Valis has been in pre-production forever, but it's a very, very difficult thing to put into a film version, and they may even recut it as a posthumously published book, which we really don't even know if he ever wanted published, called Radio Free Albemuth. The point being that his work is far more complex than the movies. A Total Recall is based on a short story. Screamers is based on a short story. The Adjustment Bureau is based on a short story, and on and on. The only other book that has ever been turned into a film was a very, very weird film. Let's see if I can think of the name. It was all done in rotoscope. Had Keanu Reeves in it, help me here.
I'm sorry, you're on your own here. I can't think what movie you're talking about.
A Scanner Darkly is the name of it.
Okay, I remember.
And that's the only other book that was during his anti-drug phase. By the way, you were mentioning, you know, what you've done, what you haven't done. I used to get drunk at UFO conventions once a year, got sick, disappeared for a day, and in the Mosley lexicon, that became known as pulling a Greenfield. There were actually two reasons for that. One was if I got drunk, I was sick for 24 hours and spent time worshiping at the porcelain bowl. The other is I was trying very hard to be an Orthodox Jew, and I disappeared on from Friday night sunset till Saturday night sunset because I wouldn't do the convention at that time. But I never told anyone until right at this moment, or either one of those things. But I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I'm a straight edge, and I encourage others to do so, but condemn none for experimenting with whatever they think is best. Just keeping in mind that when I'm around people who are dopers or drinkers and I'm straight edge, I feel like I'm at the advantage and they're at the disadvantage. They tend to believe everything and I tend to look at things sort of in a balanced way. Even when they're off, it's like if they're regular imbibers, it seems to increase credulity.
Okay, so let's really segue here. Get back to Philip K. Dick, how do his writings impact on our studies of other dimensions, other realities, other systems of our framework of our existence?
He thought that reality was a sliding scale and that essentially it was very, very difficult, if not impossible, to determine what is and is not reality. In that sense, he may have anticipated the philosophical school of deconstructionism. He had definite ideas about what ultimate reality was all about, which he thought was some sort of pure consciousness that took many, many different forms and that you could conveniently call God. But at times he thought of it in the same way that you mentioned with Kiel, as a computer and possibly a mad computer entity, somewhat similar to the Gnostic Demiurgos, the notion of this being that is less than God but has the hubris to think that it is God. In Flatland, it's called the point being, which thinks that it is the only thing that really exists. But his view was that there was consciousness and love at the center of being, and that that took on many forms and many manifestations, but they could They were very changeable. They were very malleable. And I am saying this, and my inner voice is saying to me at the same time, you ain't doing it justice, Alan. And I'm not. The only way to go about it, if you're familiar with his works, you get some idea of this. If you're familiar with the corpus of his better novels, and then go on to read at least the Vallis trilogy, and which was at the very end of his life. The last of them was not even a science fiction book. It was mainstream fiction called The Transmigration of Timothy Archer, and was about his relationship with with his bishop, Bishop Pike, who was quite famous and a very, an outstanding person in the civil rights movement, who died under tragic circumstances, as a lot of the great civil rights leaders did, although his was a somewhat different death.
You know, what we should do here, since we're mentioning movies in relationship to Philip K. Dick, there is a question about movies from one of our regular listeners, Blowfish, where he asks, and it's a different kind of movie, and I'll pose the question in this segment, and then we'll go to our next segment and have you answer it. We do have a few questions from our listeners. All your thoughts on coming new Star Trek movies compared to the older versions, and I guess that is an alternate reality kind of thing, where they reinvented Star Trek, but Star Trek happens in an altered universe because of what the Romulans had done. We all know what happened there. So your reaction to that. We have Alan Greenfield joining us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg, and of course, you're in the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, neighbors. Meetings are an essential part of any business. You know, making presentations to clients, collaborating with your colleagues. Well, make them as simple as possible to run and organize. Use GoToMeeting by Citrix, the easiest, most reliable online meeting service. With GoToMeeting, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds. Attendees can join with just a click from anywhere. Meeting materials are viewed on everyone's screen, making collaboration seamless. GoToMeeting is so easy to use for you and everyone joining your meeting. Plus, with GoToMeeting, hold as many meetings as you can for one flat rate. You have phone conferencing and voice over IP are included. You know, my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code PODCAST.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch. GoldenStagSafaris.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy. So it's off to Grandma's house for the holidays, eh? That's great. But while you're going over the river and through the woods, professional burglars are choosing easy targets to break into. Don't be an easy target. Plug in fake TV. Fool criminals into believing someone's home at your house watching TV. Fake TV works a bit like the light on a timer, but fake TV is far more convincing. Fake TV plugs into any outlet and simulates the light and colors of a real TV. Burglars will likely move on to easier targets and leave your house alone. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. Or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Live long and prosper, because Alan Greenfield's among us. And one of our listeners, I don't know why they asked this question, but I'll raise it again. So the first question, Alan, is, were you a Trekkie, or are you a Trekkie?
No, I was a main, what they would call an SF fan in the days of the first Star Trek, and we kind of looked down on the Trekkies. In fact, the term Trekkie was a pejorative to show how far back in that area I go. We had a guy in Southern fandom, that is, people who were interested in science fiction and comics and other things of that sort. There was a guy whose nickname was Trekkie because he was the only one. And, of course, that exploded it into a very big thing. In retrospect, I consider the original Star Trek to be a real gem in terms of the relative order of science fiction on television, and its subsequent reincarnations as Next Generations and Deep Space Nine, et cetera, et cetera. All have a lot of merit, but I consider them to be kind of future idealistic nuts and bolts science fiction. I must say, after Gene Roddenberry passed away, it became more of war in space and less of the idealistic reflection of international cooperation and non-intervention, something we could learn a lot from in terms of Afghanistan, Iraq, and other horror stories of the modern world.
Well, the other thing, of course, is that Star Trek also was a money-making machine.
Well,
therefore, they made the series hoping they get 7 years out of each one, which didn't happen with Star Trek Enterprise, but that's another story. All right, so the original Star Trek, the concept I get here is after Gene Roddenberry died, it, shall we say, altered the concept a little bit. All right.
A lot, I would say.
Okay, so the concept is altered. It's not what maybe 100% of what Roddenberry had expected or anticipated or envisioned in his Star Trek concept. And, of course, he was around during the first years of Next Generation. Don't know if he died before that series ended or after. So we have the new generation here. Now, I'll give you one comment about the new generation of Star Trek, and that is they took advantage of their budget because in almost every scene, you see people running all over the ship. You know, it's a huge spaceship, the Enterprise. So how do you show how huge it is? You have people running.
Oh, and for the level of, first of all, it didn't get really good breaks from the network, which I think was NBC. So with what they're
talking about, the original Star Trek as opposed to the J.J. Abrams movie. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. The movies I'm not as familiar with. I have seen, I would say, spottily the majority of them, but none of them struck me as – they all struck me as technically bigger and better, but bigger and better is not always better. And I don't think you really have better science fiction until the reimagined Battlestar Galactica, which I absolutely loved and thought that was took a really dorky 1970s science fiction project and turned it into something that was the kind of science fiction I generally like best, which is a way of looking at our own world from a removed vantage point and thus seeing our virtues and our flaws in the best possible light. But that's still mostly a nuts and bolts approach. And in general, although they touched on alternate realities and they certainly touched on alternate ways of getting around the universe a lot. I mean, Deep Space Nine was about one of those places that you could go from one part of the universe to another in relative
wormhole. In fact, the TV series Farscape, don't know if you saw that.
Yes,
that was one where a couple of the stars were actually Muppets.
Oh, yeah. That was a little hard for me to take, but they did it. Given what they were doing, they did it well. And again,
it was tasteful, yes. Very well done. I liked it.
The plot was not superficial, and one could sometimes forget that Muppets were Muppets. It certainly wasn't Bert and Ernie, you know, so they were very well developed. And I think maybe it's unfair to call them Muppets. They're by the creators of the Muppets. So I'm not a big fan of most television science fiction, but I think Star Trek as such, and that means all of the Star Trek, including the movies and including the various versions, were a breakthrough in terms of being something that went beyond. Well, I was just saying that I think that Star Trek was not just an advancement in terms of technology, but in terms of plot line, and went way beyond the kid science fiction shows which were prevalent in the 1960s. The only exception other than that would be the almost not science fiction of Twilight Zone and Outer Limits, which was only borderline science fiction. It was mostly kind of social criticism in an eerie setting, but
thing about Star Trek is Star Trek was written for adults, that adults can enjoy the show, whereas watching Space Patrol in the 1950s, you know, it was for kids. Even Captain Video, all those shows were for kids. You always assumed science fiction had to be for someone who was under 12 or 15.
Yeah, exactly.
And Star Trek kind of turned that on its ear.
And I'm not sure that it was intended to, but it did, and that's the important thing. And although it owes a huge debt to the great 1950s science fiction movie, theatrical movie, Forbidden Planet.
I also think that William Shatner's Captain Kirk channels Leslie Nielsen in Forbidden Planet. We didn't know that Leslie Nielsen was funny then. He was a serious actor.
In the 1950s, and he had a surprise second career, which he did justice to straight-faced comedy that is most touching. He would have, but, you know, there's no point at which William Shatner ever did Captain Kirk without a touch of underlying humor. And I think that if you go back and look at it with that in mind, it was always there. So in that sense, he really did have the Leslie Nielsen undertone in him.
Well, you know, when they did that show Boston Legal where he played Denny Crane, you knew how funny he was with James Spader that had this wonderful rapport. Let's move back to our subject here because we're about two-thirds into the show. We want to get also into your interest in the occult. And that is, with regard to UFOs, wherever they come from, what about so-called close encounter stories? This is another question from Blowfish. And the best evidence. So we see UFOs in the sky, but sometimes they're real close, and sometimes we see the beings, and sometimes those beings want to take us. What do you think? Any real evidence for that, or is this all some kind of mind trick?
Yes and yes. I don't think that it's a trick, but I think that it does involve the same kind of experience that one would encounter in the varieties of religious experience. And in fact, in folklore about abduction by elves, or I was just talking today about with my son Randall about halflings, and we have throughout human history these notions of people being taken away under a mountain, to a mountain. You and I interviewed a guy who, without realizing it, though he was doing a UFO story, Ralph Lael is who I'm talking about.
This was in Brown Mountain Lights, right?
Right, right.
In that city near where the mountain was located, we interviewed somebody who claimed to have met these entities.
Well, whether he did or didn't is of less interest to me than that his story resembled European folklore about being taken into the Venusberg or Fairy Hill or whatever in so much detail that I find it nearly impossible to believe that it doesn't come from the same source. Whether he dreamed it up, I had this bizarre experience of a guy showing up at my hotel room and telling me that Lael was somebody. I don't even know how he found my hotel room, but, you know, maybe he was a man in black. Who knows? But it was a small town, and I imagine news travels quickly. But he said, you know, you don't need to be fooling around with Ralph Lael. And I said, why is that?
All right. So we have Ralph Lael. We have Alan Greenfield. We have a possible man in black. More to come. You're in the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.